If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we'll be reading from the 16th chapter of Matthew. And we'll start with verse 24. 16th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 24. And the setting here, although the scripture doesn't necessarily reflect maybe the conversation, I'm sure it's connected, but Jesus has talked about the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, and how just the teaching of these false people, these leaders, these religious leaders that were promoting a false doctrine, and then he goes on, and we have what some people call the Great Confession, where Jesus asks his disciples whom people say that he is, and they say various things, Elijah and a prophet, Jeremiah. And then Jesus asked them, but whom say ye that I am? And this is where Peter, for the first time, really confesses that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we have this has happened. And then right after this, Jesus tells them essentially that there's going to be some difficult things to come. And Peter says it's not going to happen, and Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So Peter and we kind of chuckle, I guess, a little bit about Peter just because of his attitude. He was very outspoken, and so he goes from confessing one of the greatest things that for a person to say in the Bible, to say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's about as powerful as you're going to get from something that someone would say. And then to rebuke Jesus as he is explaining things to them, and Jesus to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And so that's what has happened. And then we get to verse 24, and it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples." So he's speaking to the disciples here. And he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we'll stop our reading there. And the thought as we go back to verse 24, as Jesus starts this, he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Probably many of us have heard this scripture many different times. But my thought for today as it came to me this morning is less of me. Less of me. And as we read this scripture, and we've heard it many times, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." At least probably the most times that I have heard it, a lot of times when it's focused on, they focus on take up his cross. And we'll maybe talk about that a little bit, but I want to back up to what is just before that. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so there's a string there of, and then he gives a little bit more clarity, and he talks about those that would save their life shall lose it, and those that would lose their life for my sake shall find it. And he talks about, and we sang the song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus," and that song, I think, comes from this principle, if it doesn't come from this verse directly, about how a man is not profited if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul. So all of these things are connected, but Jesus, as he says, "If any man will come after me," and then he gives those three things, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So I want to focus a little bit on the first part where he says, "Let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. To deny is to say no, to push away or to reject. To deny himself. Less of me. We know that we have to repent and put our faith in Christ, as repentance and faith are so often talked about. They're called the inseparable graces. They come as gifts from God, if you will. They are by His grace. No one repents, no one truly puts their faith in Christ without the grace of God being ever present in the situation. But to repent is really to turn. To turn, it's a turning, and it can mean a change of mind in its literal sense, and we know it's more than just a mental thing. But there's a change, a pivot, a turn. And that turn is from self to God. Turn from self to God. No one has ever truly put their trust in Christ if they're also trusting in themselves. If they're also prioritizing themselves. If they're also looking to themselves. If they're also looking for their own motivation, their own desires, their own lusts, their own selfishness. If that is in the heart, salvation cannot take place. We have to repent. We have to turn from ourselves. We have to turn from our own selfishness, our own desires, and turn to Christ for the salvation that we can't get on our own. But notice he's talking to his disciples. Peter has already proclaimed that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so these are already people that are following after him. And so I don't believe Jesus is purely just talking about a salvation moment. He's not. It's very clear this is an ongoing thing. It's not, if any man will be saved, let him at one moment in time repent and put his trust in me and then live his life as he wishes. That is never how Jesus described how this works. He says, if any man will come after me, if you want to pursue Christ in your life as his disciple, let him deny himself. Self-denial is a virtue that is taught in the Bible. Self-denial, I'll say it again, is a virtue. It is something that is promoted and esteemed highly in the Scripture, in the Holy Scripture that we read. Self-denial is not viewed very highly in our society today. We live in a world where self-gratification, instant gratification if possible, but doing what feels good, what feels right, what we think or want in the moment, is that is pursued and it is promoted very strongly. And society will still put some barriers around that. Most people will still frown upon murder. Even if someone goes in and robs a bank and kills some people to take other people's money, that is still frowned upon by most of society. So they have put their own kind of morals out there, their own boundaries out there of what is right and wrong. But for the most part, as long as it's not offending other people, I'll leave that there. But as long as it's not hurting other people, it's not supposedly taking from other people, we're really given the liberty by society to just do what we want to do. Whatever makes you happy, just go pursue that. And to be clear, that is not the teaching of Christ. That is not the teaching of Christ. Never in the Scriptures does He really give His disciples the freedom or the liberty just to do what feels good to them. In fact, He says, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me. So, I mean, the question is there of, you know, do you want to come after Christ? Do you want Christ? Do you want that close connection with Him? Do you want to be walking and talking in the garden with Him? And if you are truly one of His, I believe the answer to that question should be yes. Now, that doesn't mean that we are perfect. That doesn't mean our desires are always perfect, and I'll get to that here in just a bit. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, if Jesus is truly your Lord and your King, then you should have a desire. There should be something within you, a yearning to be closer, to be connected with Him, and to go after Him. I didn't mean to get into all this, and I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole, if you will. We promote a once saved, always saved. We promote that we are saved by the grace of God, and that salvation, that we are justified before Him, and that is something that is kept by Him, and that we, our works, our ability to do certain things is not what ultimately decides how we are viewed in the judgment, that it is the righteousness of Christ, that is what we're depending on. But if you read through our articles of faith, you will also see that one of the articles of faith talks about the perseverance of the saints. And so this concept of getting saved and being sealed until the day of judgment, and then just going and living our lives as we please and having no really regard for Christ or His kingdom or His work is not found in the Scriptures, and it's not found in our articles of faith. So, if someone claims to be a child of God and yet they would say, hey, I'll pass on coming after Christ, then I've just got to relate to you what the Scriptures say, and then that's between you and God. So if any man will come after me, if we're going to come after Christ, then we have to deny ourselves. To deny ourselves, what does that mean? When we are saved by the grace of God, we are born again. We're a new creature. It says that old things have passed away, behold, all things are new. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes its abode, a dwelling within us. And I believe all those things to be true. There is, I believe, a desire, as I said, for Christ and a desire towards good things, that is part of the new creation. The new creature cannot live perpetually in sin, disconnected from God, and be satisfied. I don't believe that is in the profile. That is not in the character of the new creature. We see that people can go astray. We see examples in the Bible. We see that the disciples that Jesus so dearly loved, when they came to take Him away, they scattered and denied Him. But the new creature cannot live away from Christ and be satisfied. I don't believe it. But we also recognize that when we're saved by the grace of God, that is the beginning, that the new creature, with the new birth has happened. We are no longer in slavery in our sin and in our shame. But the desires of our heart are still a work in progress. Our desires do not, and I've heard some people say that they were saved and maybe they were drug addicts and they never had the desire to do drugs again. God can do miraculous things. And I'm not going to tell any person that relates that experience. I'll have to take them at what they say, because God can do miraculous things. But even if they have no longer have a desire to maybe partake in drugs that they had in the past, they will still struggle with selfish desires, as will we. And the war between self and God still is taking place inside of our hearts, inside of our minds, inside of us, that there's still that conflict. Jesus still sometimes has to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," when we go off and do our own thing as Peter was doing, when we say things that we shouldn't say. And so my prayer, and I preached on this I think a few weeks ago, is for God to change us from the inside out, that our desires, that we would have a greater desire for God's Word, that we would have a greater desire for God's kingdom and the work of His kingdom and the labor of God's kingdom, that I would have a greater desire for righteous, holy things, and that you as my brothers and sisters would too. But while God is still working on our desires, let us deny ourselves. May there be less of me. There's lots of examples. I could go into a lot of examples, and I'm not here to finger point at any specific person's sins. I've got enough of my own struggles. I've got enough of my own things that I need to work on denying. So I don't really have any business pointing fingers at specific people. But I do just want to highlight a few things just to kind of show, because we talk about the world and the culture that we live in, the society that we live in, that it is a self and a quick gratification culture. And there's scientists that study it. There's people that report on it all the time. And they talk about the internet and social media and how you can so quickly get, you know, information that you're looking for. You can so quickly post something and get response from people for them to like it or for them to comment. It's so easy to get those cyber interactions across the internet now that it's kind of changed people. It's made people think differently and react differently, and I'm sure that there's truth to that. They talk about how a lot of people will almost be addicted, that there's studies out there that say that people just to like put your finger on a cell phone, for those that have smartphones, some of us do, some of us don't, but that there's a lot of people in society that even just putting your finger on it or whatever that unlocks, that opens your phone up or has the screen come on, that is linked to chemicals going off in your brain, that people are addicted to just the very idea of their phone coming up. It's all in our society today. It's in our media. If you watch TV, if you watch movies, you will see so much of this in terms of kind of a push against self-denial. Just this push for doing what feels right, it is all over the place. But if we look, it's in our churches, it's in our people. We don't have to look out into the world and to find these same principles, to find the desire to just please ourselves and to do what feels good or what we want to in the moment. One of the best examples I have is, and just to kind of highlight it, because it's something and it's something that I'm guilty of, so I can, as I said, I'm not trying to point out for other people, but I look at how, even as God's people, how people a lot of times will react with food. It's something that we don't really preach against much. It's, although gluttony is in the Bible, but it's something that as God's people overall, we've really allowed ourselves to indulge in, to interact with food in a way where we don't really show restraint. And by and large, we don't really feel guilty about it in many cases. Your pastor is not going to, if you got drunk Saturday night and you came in, you might expect that the pastor or the preacher is going to absolutely just step all over your toes about not getting drunk and about not having substance in your body that's going to modify how your brain works and make it where you can't think clearly. and they'll read passages in the Bible about not getting drunk. If you are struggling with sexual sin in some way, if there's lots of things out there and there's all sorts of scriptures that people will point at and they'll harp on. But if you went out to a restaurant last night and you just absolutely ate until you just about made yourself sick, you probably didn't expect to be coming in on Sunday morning and to get hammered for that and to have your toes stepped on. And my goal is not to do those sorts of things. As I said, that's something that I am guilty of myself. But it's an example, and I use it because it's something that we all eat. And we probably all have instances where we do that. And it's a place where, by and large, we will let ourselves, and it's in society and it's in our people as well. I was listening to something for work. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but they were talking about how getting people to change their behaviors. It was talking about I think influence and change and how getting people to change behaviors, and that there are many, many people that have health problems, physical health problems linked to their diet. And so they go to doctors and doctors will say, you need to change your diet. You need to lower your cholesterol. You need to lower your blood pressure. You need to lose weight. You need to do certain things, and it is for your physical health. And people will recognize that. They will understand that, yes, I would be a healthier person. My body would be healthier if I ate differently. And yet, I think it was 7 in 10 people will not modify their diet, just from some of the statistics that they show. Even people, not just the average person, but people that their doctors, the people that they trust with their health, have told them that they need to do this, and yet the vast majority of them will still not do it. It's something, and I say this not because I want to focus on this particular sin, and let's call it what it is, right? And we can joke about it, and we can talk about Baptists and fried chicken, and we can do these things, and it's not to say that we shouldn't enjoy life. And so that, and I want to make sure I get to that point here in just a minute. It's not about being miserable. The winner is not the person that goes through life the most miserable. But there is an aspect of self-denial. There's an aspect of knowing how God created us, knowing what God wants for us, and respecting those boundaries and staying within them. Being obedient to what God says is for the best. And the Bible tells us that gluttony is bad. It's a sin. It's a self-indulgence. It's something where we're violating what God really intends for our bodies, and we're pursuing what feels good at the time. And many of us, and I use this because it's almost a universal thing, I would say almost all of us have violated, have sinned in this way to the point where we're just about sick and we regret it. And we're like, man, I wish I had eaten less. I wish I had made a better decision. But this is just, it's one thing. It's something that I think that we should do a better job at. If we're going to talk about sin, if we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it and let's match the Bible. If the Bible says something is sin, let's call it sin and let's strive to do better. We're going to fail. We're not going to be perfect, but whenever we push sin away and whenever we sweep sin under a rug, that's never a good thing. To ever take something that God says is wrong and to not say it's wrong and to, even if we're going to joke about it and make light of it, that's a problem. And so I highlight that one just because it's one that so far, by and large, at least in my life and even for my own self, I've kind of let that get away. It's good for us to deny ourselves. It's good for us to recognize that our purpose is not to gratify ourselves in the moment, to respect the boundaries that God has put there for our health and our well-being, for our physical health, for our mental health. Social media can have its place. The internet can have its place. But if you spend too much time on it, I can almost guarantee you it will impact your mental health. There are boundaries, there are limitations there that we need to respect. And our spiritual health. There are things that the Bible tells us are good for our spiritual health, are good for our walk with God. And they require us to, in some cases, deny ourselves, to deny what would feel good in the moment, to deny what we might want to do instead for the goal, the long-term goal of walking closer with God. Now, self-denial. I said that it's not the person that is the most miserable. People will sometimes look, and you have different viewpoints that people will look at Christians or God's people. I know the term Christian is used very loosely these days. But they'll look at people, and in some cases they'll say, well, you're no different than anyone else. You still eat yourself silly, and you still have these people over here getting drunk, and you still have these people that have been divorced and remarried or have had children out of wedlock. You still have these people that are gossiping and bickering with each other. You still have these fights. You still have these hard feelings and all these things. And there's truth in those things, that there is sin in our people. There's sin in our churches. And that has an impact on us as God's people. It has an impact on our influence out in the world. We understand this. The Bible teaches us this. But then you'll have the other view that comes in, and it will say that, y'all just live miserable lives. You don't want to go. You don't want to enjoy. You tell us that we shouldn't indulge in these things, that you tell us we're supposed to deny ourselves, and you just want people to be miserable. And that's not the case either. It's interesting how we can be guilty of kind of swinging both ways at different times. We can be guilty of indulging too much. We can be guilty of gratifying ourselves and not denying ourselves. And then if we're not careful, we can be guilty of trying to follow certain things, but doing so begrudgingly, and doing so and feeling miserable and thinking that we are, you know, we're just really missing out. There are examples through history of, extremism, if you will, to take a concept like self-denial, and they'll run it as far to one way as you just about can. They'll take scripture as Jesus said when he said that, you know, if your hand is going to cause you to sin, cut it off. If your eye is going to cause you to sin, pluck it out. And there are people that will take that scripture and they will use it literally, and they have actually destroyed a part of their body in an effort to not sin anymore. And I can go ahead and tell you it didn't work, because that's not where the problem lies. We see examples in history of different groups of people that took self-denial to extremes and would do so to really just almost to strip anything that would potentially look like it was fun or having a good time, and really they put on kind of the pedestal this idea of being this devout person meant that you just were intolerant and just you didn't want to have a good time, and you didn't want anyone else to have a good time, and really being unhappy was kind of the status quo of what you aspired to be if you were going to deny yourself. People have whipped themselves, they have starved themselves. People have done all sorts of things in efforts to be more godly. And that is not what I desire for you or for myself. In fact, I want us to be the most joyous, most content people that are living on the face of this earth. I want joy to radiate from us in such a way that people look at us and they go, wow, what has them so content? Where does their joy come from? Because I want them to, they'll look at our external circumstances and our external circumstances, what we're doing, what we're partaking in, what we're indulging in, is not what they're going to link to our joy and our contentment. They're not going to think that we're satisfied because we feed ourselves so well. They're not going to think we're satisfied because we're drinking ourselves so that we can have a good time. They're not going to think that we're content because we're just allowing ourselves to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. But they're going to see a contentment that comes from Christ. But for us to get there, we must be willing to deny ourselves. I'll throw this out there. I'm not trying to get on a soapbox for anything. And once again, it's something I'm guilty of. But there is so much consumption today of media, of television, of movies, of things on the internet. And I would caution you to be very, very careful. And I pray that we as God's people will be willing to deny ourselves the gratification that might come from watching certain things and consuming certain things, if it is going to ultimately put a wedge between us and God. It's another place where it can be gratifying, it can be satisfying to be seeing what everyone is talking about, to be watching the latest movie, watching the latest TV show, the latest viral video, whatever those things are. There can be a gratification in indulging in things that we recognize are not really good for us. They're not really promoting what we believe in. But we just can't seem to let them go. And I'm certainly guilty of those things. But let us deny ourselves. Let us make sure that we are doing it for the right reasons. The Pharisees denied themselves. They would deny themselves food. They would deny themselves all sorts of things, but their motivation was selfish. Their motivation was so that people would see that they were denying themselves. And in that way, it was not self-denial, it was selfish. It was not trying to push away from themselves, but they were really trying to promote themselves. And so by fasting and by allowing people to see that they were fasting and really highlighting what it was doing to their bodies, they were getting praise. And they were getting people to look at them and go, yeah, they're extra righteous. They're extra holy because they're doing these things. So let us deny ourselves, but let us make sure that we are doing it for the right reasons. Because we're supposed to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus. If you're denying yourself, but you're not following Jesus, you've missed the mark. If you're trying to follow Jesus, but you're not denying yourself, you've missed the mark. Romans in chapter 13. In verse 14, the Apostle Paul writing here, he says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts or desires thereof. I want more of Christ in my life. I want to spend more time with Him. And for me to have the time that I want to spend with Him, I'm going to have to deny myself that time that is spent on other things. I want more of Christ in my energy and in my passion and in my thoughts and in my meditation and in just what I, not just the time, but the energy. And it's limited. And so for me to be able to put on Christ, for me to be able to be consumed with Christ, there are other things that I'm going to have to deny myself. I want to have a greater desire for God's Word. And that means that I'm going to need more time and energy in it. The good thing about the Bible is the more that you're in it, honestly in it, we can all read like we're reading the newspaper and not get any value out of it. But the more that you're in it and truly seeking to understand it and learn from it and connect to God in it, the better it gets. And so sometimes we have to deny ourselves the things that we might want to do. Sometimes the following God, sometimes having a thriving prayer life does not lead to instant gratification. Sometimes having a thriving life in the Word of God does not necessarily mean instant gratification. At any given moment in time, there might be things that we would want to do in that place. And we can't all spend 20 hours a day in a closet on our knees praying all the time. So we have to find ways, we have to figure out how to integrate Christ into our lives. But I certainly know that I have to integrate Christ in my life, but you know, I have to integrate my life into Christ. And when it's not in alignment, for whatever reason, I need to be willing to deny myself. Because at the end of it all, I want there to be less of me and more of Him. And I want that for you too.